FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's February 27th, 2017, and we're with Jason Hartman. He's got some exciting news. You know, the amazing thing about you, Jason, is you never stand still. You're always up to something, which is why I always love having you on the show. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Carrie. You know, maybe that's inspired by one of my favorite quotes from Ray Kroc, the founder of the McDonald's franchise system. And Ray said, as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you begin to rot. So I don't ever want to be ripe. I want to just keep on growing.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot to be said for it. It's grow or die, you know, whether it's a company or whether it's you, you have to. You have to keep growing mentally, and you have to keep doing new things, or really you start getting slow, and you know, you start getting soft, you just start losing it.
The stationary position in life is really moving backwards relative to the rest of the world, because as so many things in the world move forward, if you're just standing still, you're really moving backwards from a relative perspective, right? So you don't want to let that happen. And that is very important. But in so many ways, it's you know, as I always say, it's an amazing time to be alive, but it's also a really weird time to be alive. I guess everybody's felt that way probably throughout history, but you know, this is the only time we can relate to because it's the time we're alive, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, we've got so many things going just backwards in the world, it seems like, in the world of bureaucratic governments and central banks and, you know, and I'm not just talking about the U.S. government. I'm talking about every government virtually around the world. And but at the same time, we have so many amazing things in terms of technology. And, you know, we've just got to align our interests with the most powerful forces on earth. As I always say, governments and central banks, don't bet against them. If you bet against them, you're gonna be wrong. And I think, you know, I know you and I have some different opinions on this stuff, Carrie, and I know certainly compared to some of your advertisers, I have some different opinions, but I just don't think gold and Bitcoin are the thing. You know, I think that's a bet against the most powerful forces on earth. And I'd love to be wrong about this, but you know, I don't think I'm gonna be wrong. So you know, I'm looking at a great chart, and I just invited you, Carrie, by the way, to we have a private Facebook group for our staff and our Venture Alliance Mastermind members. And we got some really interesting stuff in there. And if you just check it while you're talking to me right now for this episode, I just invited you to it. And I'm looking at this incredible chart about entitlement and interest expenses in the U.S., how it will exceed revenue within 15 years, right? So there's this inflection point at 2025, so really 13 years. And man, if this and Donald Trump and just government spending in general don't say inflation is coming, I don't know what does. But do you see this chart by chance? Did you have a chance to look at that right now?
So you just invited me on Facebook, was it?
I just did. Yeah. See, we do things off the cuff here sometimes, and this is one of those examples. I'll tag you.
Right,
there you go.
Getting I'll tag in there you. Right now. Oh my God.
Does that chart blow your mind or what?
Yeah, revenue's stagnant and expenses are going up. Kind of looks like
not just going up, but we're talking about a 40% increase through 2050, which, by the way, is a lot closer than you think, listeners. If you live another 10 or 15 years, no matter how old you are, you might easily live another 50 years. So be prepared for a new problem. Here's the problem. Too much life left at the end of the money. You better invest for it.
Yeah, you don't want to live longer than your money.
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't. But, you know, it's as problems go, Carrie, that's a good problem to have. So but it is a problem nonetheless. So I tell you, we think that Trump is inflationary. We think inflation is a home run for income property investors. We think, you know, income property is the most historically proven asset class in the world. And, you know, you combine that possibility, which you know, certainly we could be wrong about it, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like it. You combine that with the incredible demographics coming at the rental market over the next decade, with Gen Y being saddled with massive student loan debt, coming into an anemic employment market, loving mobility, loving the sharing economy, and delaying household and family formation longer than any generation in history of the entire world. And I tell you, we've got a strong rental market coming at us. We've already seen it the last 5 years, but it's only going to get better. And then you've got Gen Z coming up after that. And I don't know a lot about Gen Z yet. Nobody does, because they're still teenagers, but it's getting interesting to look at them as well. And I think it's a pretty amazing time to be a real estate investor. I really do. Although I got to tell you, you've had him on your show, I believe. I've had him on my show 4 times. He's coming up again. But Mr. Harry Dent, the guy who is right and wrong, famously.
Yeah, that's right.
Along with Peter Schiff, who seems to be wrong almost all the time. But they're both super interesting to listen to. And Harry's coming back on my show. I just finished his book, his newest book. And I think he's, I don't know, I think he's gone off the deep end here a little bit on some of these predictions. Yeah. Carrie, when he talks about real estate, he talks about it as if it's one thing, like all real estate around the world is just real estate. He doesn't divide it up into price range, linear market, cyclical market, hybrid market. He doesn't do any division. It's just real estate as though it's one entity. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he hasn't always been right, but you know, it's like Nassim Taleb, you know, the black swan. With him, he doesn't have to be right very often. He just has to be right that one time when he's got a lot riding on it, and all of a sudden, he makes a killing. With Harry Dent, I don't know about. You know, people are paying him for his advice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's definitely true. Well, I mean, what do you think is coming? Do you think, you know, when we try to predict things and we look at the Trump administration and what they're doing, we look at the spending, we look at his, you know, Trump has a $1.15 trillion discretionary budget, basically, and that's another graph on there, right? And you look at the money that he wants to spend on infrastructure, on military. I mean, it boggles the mind, you know. I mean, you could easily argue that he's a Democrat with this kind of spending, right?
Well, you know what they say, the future's not what it used to be.
Yeah, so, Yogi Berra, I love that quote.
And I just put together some quotes about the U.S. Congress. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he said the media is the enemy. I think the Congress is the enemy, you know, because they're bought and paid for by all these different interest groups who are really bad news, you know. Going to be a fight.
No question about that. But I don't know. You know, the media is bought and paid for, too, by the corporatocracy. And that's a big special interest group, too. So I don't think we can trust any of this stuff. We just have to be smart. We have to make up our own mind. We have to be independent thinkers and really look at the world that way. But check out. I just tagged you on another thing, Carrie. And let's talk about this to your listeners as well. The existing home sales for January 2017. I mean,
I saw that.
Inventory. Yeah. Is tight. January had the highest rate of home sales growth in 10 years. And I'll tell you something else. It would have been even higher if inventory of homes was not so constricted. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. My optimism does not extend to high-priced, high land value, left-wing controlled bubble markets. I think these markets are way too frothy. One is near you, Carrie, and that is South Florida, I think, is a bubble. I think virtually, you know, the West Coast, pretty much the whole thing is a bubble. It'd go from Seattle down to San Diego, it's all too expensive. You look at the Northeastern markets where they've got really high-priced real estate again, I think those markets are a disaster. You know, again, it's anybody's guess when they're going to collapse and how long the Trump administration, that's business friendly and real estate friendly, could just pump more money into that system. But there's no way this is sustainable. I mean, there is no way. There is no reasonable valuation metric for any of these markets. And if they go another 10, 15, 20% higher, then they're just in fantasy land. I mean, there's no fundamentals backing them up.
This is true, but you know, yeah, they can go on for a while longer than you think, right?
Who knows? I mean, you know, it's just anybody's guess when the chickens will come home to roost, as they say, right? But they've got to. They've absolutely got to. There's no way this is sustainable. When you compare, and looking at this chart, the median national home price is $228,900, median single family homes $230,400, and condos and co-ops down at $217,400, right? All cash sales were 23% of all the transactions in January, and that's pretty significant. That's up from 21% in December, and up and down from 26% a year ago. But you know what that says to me? Those all cash purchases, largely foreign buyers.
Yeah.
Coming to the U.S., that has always been thought of as the Brinks truck of the world, the safe place to shelter your money. It's not going to be in China. It's not going to be in Brazil. It's not going to be in Argentina. And you're not going to be able to open a Swiss bank account anymore either. So, the U.S. is still, as messed up as it is, it's the place everybody goes, from around the world to keep their money safe. It's not going to be in Russia, right? It's not going to be in China either, probably, right?
I don't see people fleeing to China with that pollution.
Yeah, and with the massive, very real threat of very serious civil unrest in China. I think, and that's the one thing I do agree with Harry Dent about in his last book. He talks about how China is just is set for giant, epic problems. I don't think that the next 15 years are looking too good for China, I gotta say.
Yeah. Well, having been there recently, I think their problem is going to be, hey, we've got all this money, but the pollution is killing us. We'll give up the money. Just give us air we can breathe, please.
That's part of it, certainly. But then you combine that with a one-child policy that has created a huge demographic problem that's going to really start to hit China in the next 10 to 15 years. And then you're not going to see enough young people to support the older people. That's the way it works in every society. That's what's happened to Japan for the last 20 years. And these countries have got to open up their borders or get their people to have kids. I mean, it's the same problem in Russia. It's the problem in Western Europe. Yeah. I mean, demographics are destiny, as they say, right?
I would say so, yeah. It's a definite issue, and it's all over in the Western countries, for sure, and the Eastern, Japan.
It is.
I mean, we see it all over. Advanced countries, we should say, right?
Yeah, no question about it. Now, you know what else is interesting to look at? You know what we were just talking about, Carrie, about how the wealthy people are fleeing certain places and they're going to other places. Oh, yeah. So there's another great little infographic in that same group there just below. And it, you know, the places losing the millionaires, I mean, the worst offender is France. I mean, you know, socialism. Guess what? Socialism doesn't work. Imagine that.
who would believe it, huh?
Yeah, imagine that. They're just figuring it out.
I'm shocked.
China, millionaires are fleeing, or at least their money is moving. Brazil, India, Turkey. Turkey is unfortunately going the way of the radical Islamic regime, which is terrible. But the country's gaining millionaires. Number one, Australia. And that's a lot of that Chinese money moving there. Okay.
Yes.
And then USA, number two, the good old US of A, the Brinks truck of the world, the safe place, the safe harbor. Canada, United Arab Emirates, moderate Islamic, right? And that's fine. And New Zealand. So those places are really benefiting. They're gaining wealthy people as those other places are losing wealthy people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No surprise there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a huge difference. So, tell me more about what your guests and what your listeners are seeing and saying about what to expect, Kerry.
Well, the euro collapse that's coming, you know, the Frexit coming up next, Marine Le Pen. I believe she's going to be elected, even though the establishment is saying no way it's ever going to happen. We see in the Netherlands, Geert Wilders probably going to be elected, even though he's no longer on the campaign trail because of the threats that he's receiving. So nationalism definitely playing. which is bad for the euro, which is good for the dollar, good for the US. The whole collapse of the EU, it's going to have worldwide ramifications.
So Italy, Spain, Portugal, they're probably, you know, Greece already had its disaster. Yeah. Coming next. Uh-huh. You know, people don't want to pay for people who aren't responsible in countries that aren't responsible, right? So tell us about the collapse of the EU. And you know, I think that's going to happen too. I've talked about it a lot on my podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, frankly, I think it's a good thing. I mean, I was so in favor of the Brexit. I just don't like globalist thinking. I don't think these countries can. I mean, imagine that. Like, how crazy is the idea of the EU and the Eurozone in general? These countries could actually combine their economies and their currencies when you've got some countries that are more responsible and just much better managed than others. I mean, you can't, you know, of course there's going to be resentment, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Greece is coming back again. Nothing was solved there. Mm-hmm. They're another disaster that doesn't go away. So a lot of these things keep happening over and over again. And not the problem never gets solved. The debt never gets solved. So, you know, if interest rates, they keep saying they're going up, they're not going up. Eventually, they're going to go up here in the U.S. too. And that's going to be a disaster in the making. Right.
Yeah.
If they do, you know.
Well, see, the thing on the U.S., let me just address that on the real estate side only. OK, so I agree with you that an interest rate increase is going to hurt. No question about that. But at the same time, if you loosen the money supply, even if the cost of that money is higher, but the ability to get it is easier and the lenders have reduced cost in loaning it because they have less regulatory burdens and less regulatory cost, right? That's an interesting thing. Those could be a wash, you know, it could even be better. I've long thought rates are way too low. I mean, rates have got to go up. It's just actually terrible. It hurts a lot of people having these low rates, seniors especially, who've delayed gratification and done the right thing all their lives, right? And so, you know, and what I'm talking about there is the Trump administration in general, but Dodd-Frank specifically. So you've got this ridiculous, draconian legislation by idiots like Barney Frank, you know, who know nothing about banking or business, or they're just like ivory tower, you know, special interest people. Right. And fortunately, he's gone. But, you know, he left behind this legacy that has just really hurt the real estate market, where the government just gets in the way of everything that makes sense and has caused just tons of problems. So that's Dodd-Frank. And Trump wants to dismantle Dodd-Frank. He may not succeed, but at least he's going to soften it. And that's going to be huge for real estate.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see if he can get rid of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yes, the unaccountable CFPB, right? That's basically run by one guy.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean, no oversight, really, no committee, no party. You know, it's just on. It's, you know, it's like a czar, yeah, right?
Exactly. One guy, one party. No Republicans allowed.
Absurd. Yeah,
totally corrupt.
Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, as they say.
or as they said in Monty Python, absolute power is fun, you know?
And it's rude for those who have it.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah. I mean, no question about it. Okay, so you think, I mean, how soon are we looking at on the EU? You know, I mean, who do you think is going to leave next?
Well, the French elections are right around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. I think a couple of weeks, right? French presidential elections. April 23rd they are. So the Netherlands, I guess, is next, right? So I don't remember when they come up, but they're coming up like right around the corner. I mean, they're all coming up here in March. We've got other ones. So, you know, it's just it's inevitable because their interests are starting to diverge. The native populations are starting to feel alienated because of unfettered immigration. I mean, it just goes on and on. They just don't understand that you can't have this unrestricted, unlimited immigration and think that it's going to have a good outcome. It's nuts.
Oh, yeah, of course not. I mean, just of course not. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the Dutch are going to probably finally say enough. And yeah, they're in March 15th, I think they come up. So all these elections are going to be real shockers to the establishment. Not really. They know what's coming, but they have to pretend to be shocked, right? They can't just say, oh, we're going to lose. They have to say, no, we're not going to lose, just like they did here. Even though they probably have a feeling they're going to lose, they got to pretend to be invincible. That's their strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to work out, just like it didn't here.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So what does this mean to investors, though? You know, all of this changing of everything, what does it mean? I mean,
I'm not particularly certain at this point. I think it's uncertain times and people will be fleeing to safety. You know, that's what I think. I think they'll be really looking for more safety and more money flowing to the U.S. markets. I mean, that's what a lot of it's about. People can't figure out why the market keeps going up. But like you said, the Brinks truck phenomena, I think that has a lot to do with it. A lot.
Yeah, no question about it. So the Brinks truck makes America and American real estate even more positive because the media loves to play out like the country's falling apart, but it's not even close to falling apart. Yeah. I mean, these morons in Hollywood, the morons in the media, they all hate Trump. I mean, uh-huh. it's got to cause some people like myself to give Trump more sympathy. You know, yeah. I might give him a break because they're so pathetically biased. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not saying I even like Trump that much, but I'm just so fed up with the media and their bullying and Hollywood guilty of the same thing, you know?
They're the worst people in the world.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of spoiled brats. And I have no use.
And they all said they'd move if Trump got elected, but none of them have moved.
Yeah. Can't take them up on that offer.
No, I wish they would. I'd help them pack.
Yeah. I'd help contribute to, one-way airfare.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God, it's unbelievable. Well, Kerry, one more thing I wanted to tell your listeners before we wrap it up is we have a new program. We are trying to create our own secondary mortgage market, and it's pretty exciting. We've had a lot of interest in this. We only announced it 2 weeks ago. We've been working on it for about 3 months, and you know, really for many years, I've been thinking about doing it. Well, we finally launched it, and basically, investors that buy properties through our network, they can buy these properties, and if they're past their 10 loan limit with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and by the way, those requirements have loosened a bit, so it's easier now to get financing, and you can get more leverage on your financing than you used to be able to get. So that happened already under Trump. So that's great news for investors, and that will have a stimulative effect on the real estate market for the investment properties. I'm not talking about buying your own home. When I talk about real estate, I'm only talking about investments. And so that's one thing. And this program basically is where we will loan to our borrowers, and they can get special financing at below market rates. But it also means that our investors and our clients can diversify their portfolio and buy paper assets. They can buy these mortgages also. And, they may want to do that because it offers some more diversification. It's simpler than owning the property. Owning the property will almost invariably be a better investment. Okay. But it requires some attention and some work, and it's more complex. But you can be the lender on properties that our clients buy, and you can earn a nice return of over 6.5%. And you can do that with 25% down. So you got a good equity position in that property. Should anything go wrong, it's very unlikely that the buyer will walk away from 25% down. And these are very linear properties that are very conservative. They're in places like Atlanta, Little Rock, Memphis, Indianapolis, you know, these kind of markets that they're not in bubble territory. They're not frothy. They didn't go down a lot during the Great Recession. They didn't go up a lot, in the past 7 years as things have improved. They're not Los Angeles. They're not San Francisco. They're not Miami. They're not Boston. They're not New York. Okay. Sure. These are very conservative properties. properties. Typical loan amounts around $70,000-$75,000, so very low risk. And people can basically buy this paper, or they can borrow at these very special low rates and earn a nice return on their investment on either side of the equation. And, you know, who inspired this is Catherine Austin Fitz. Really? Do you know her? Have you followed her work at all?
Before. Yeah.
You what?
Sure. I've had her on before.
Yeah, I had her on the show years ago, and she said something to me very interesting. She said she was at a luncheon, a woman's luncheon, and mm-hmm. she was sitting in the middle of the table. And on one side of the table, some of her friends were talking about how they had borrowed money and they were financing cars and houses and had credit cards. And on the other side of the table, they were talking about how people were investing their money. Yeah. And basically what she realized, and she's a big advocate of this thing called permaculture, which is an interesting philosophy. And what she realized is that the people on both sides of her were all sending their money to New York City. They were all sending it to Wall Street, who was basically laundering it, in essence, and taking a huge handling fee off the top and just either loaning it to one side of the table or investing it for the other side of the table. Right. And she thought, why don't her friends just get together and do this amongst themselves and not have the crooks on Wall Street and the banksters take a huge handling fee off the top and send it back to them, either in the form of a loan or a bond or a stock, right? Mm-hmm. And that really made me realize that, you know, I've got thousands of clients. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for 13 years, helping people invest in income properties nationwide, very conservative linear markets. And why not do this within my own network? Sure. And so that's what we're doing. And we've been designing this program for quite a while, and we're really, really excited about it. We've already had several people, just after announcing it, like a week and a half ago, saying they're interested in borrowing. Mm-hmm. And then others say they're interested in buying the notes.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
So this is our own Fannie Mae. You know, we've got our own secondary mortgage market here that's developing. So it's really exciting. So if any of your listeners are interested in borrowing to finance properties, this can be a very good deal for IRA buyers, foreign nationals, people that have more than 10 properties, or people that don't have incredibly great credit scores. I mean, it's basically asset-based financing. So we're looking to the asset to be the collateral for these loans.
Or you more just don't want to go through the hassle of dealing with the institution. It's a lot easier to deal with a guy across the table. All right. You have decent credit and you just want to buy another house. The common connection is you, Jason. You know them both. Shake hands, do a deal. And and I'm sure the paperwork is very simple, expedited.
It's very
done
easy.
In 15 minutes instead of hours and hours and hours and more paper that these banks ask you for over and over and over again till you're blue in the face. They ask you for the same thing over and over and over again now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's mind-boggling.
The most nauseating process you've ever been through. That's fascinating. Well, I wish you the best of luck in it. It's about time somebody came up with a creative method to bypass these institutions who have outlived their usefulness, Jason. Let's face it.
Yeah. You know, in the old economy, they served a purpose. But nowadays, people can just be networked together. Yeah. They can disintermediate the big banks and the brokerage firms and all of that kind of stuff. So it's an amazing time to be alive. And if any of your listeners are interested in that, they can just contact any of our investment counselors at jasonhartman.com. That's jasonhartman.com. Or check out my podcast on iTunes and all the usual places.
And the podcast is always up on our site as well. You don't even have to look at Jason's site and it'll click you right through to it. The link to Jason's site is in the show notes to this interview. You can always find it. Jason, that's really exciting. I love to see the banks get cut out of the equation. The more we can do that, the better. There's so many ways of doing it now. It's just a phenomenal way of financing real estate and getting rid of them. You don't need them anymore. It's phenomenal.
So, you really don't. Yeah, you really don't. Well, thanks, Kerry. Happy investing to you and your listeners.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.